for the sermonette today, a good Scotsman that I happen to know, Mr. Larry Hardison.
Thank you, Mr. True. He probably has more Scots in him than I ever thought of having, but I tell you where his name comes from, but I don't want to embarrass him. Just look it up in the dictionary. I have a question for everyone. In fact, I probably will have more than one. But anyway, how many of you here today are dead? Let's say we have five people that are dead? Six people? Well, I don't think so. I believe all of us are still alive. Pinch yourself. If it hurts, you're alive. For those just now growing up and those who have grown up, have you ever seen or met someone and you thought, boy, when I grow up, that's how I would like to be. That's the type of person that I want to be when I'm mature, that I want to emulate. Now, many around here have had a stable and balanced home life. Others, like myself, have not. I was talking to my wife and I asked her, how many places, how many homes have you lived in from childhood up to when you were married? She'd been in six different homes. Myself, when I figured it up at age 21, and I'm somewhat over 21, but at age 21, I'd never lived at one address over a year and a half. At the most, a little bit over 3 years. But your experience differs from her experience and differs from my experience. But as we grow up, as we mature, we all need and we all usually find someone to look up to. Perhaps it's a parent. Perhaps it's a teacher. I remember Mr. Udy in my sixth grade class. He forced me to do something that was totally surprising. Perhaps it was an aunt or an uncle, or maybe your older brother or sister, if there was quite a bit of difference between you two. Perhaps it was a neighbor or a merchant. But all of these people that I've named and many, many others are examples, either for good or they're for bad. In today's society, many people look at performers. You know, American Idol is a big thing, and Donald Trump was a big one. There are athletes to look up to. There are pastors. There are political leaders. And all of those can give you a good or a bad example. As an example, a couple of athletes you've heard of, Charles Barkley and Dennis Rodman, kind of the bad boys on the basketball court. They both said publicly that they were just basketball players. They were not mentors. Wrong. People looked at them. They set an example, whether good or bad. God knew of one man who would be an example or a mentor to his family. If you would, turn over to Genesis 18. And let's just take a look at this person here real quickly. Genesis 18 in verses 17 through 19 says, "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." So Abraham was the type of man that was a mentor or an example to his family, to his servants, even to the people around him. And there are others, of course, that we can cite from Scripture. Moses mentored Joshua. In 1 Kings, If you would, 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19, and we'll start in verse 16. In verse 16, it says, "Also, you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphath of Abel, Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all those whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So Elisha became, at God's command, the protege of Elijah, and did many works that we have read about. Paul, the Apostle Paul, mentored Timothy and John Mark after they solved their differences. Paul mentored Titus and many others. You can check out in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. We won't turn there, but in 1 Corinthians 11, 1, you'll see that. Now, every parent, like Abraham, is a mentor to their children. And every older person, and that includes a lot of us sitting here, can be a mentor. Regardless of your age, you can be a mentor, as long as you're not dead. That's why I had asked the question. If you were dead, you can't be a mentor. Maybe your thought could be, but you can't be. And you can also, even as you're an older person, be a protege to someone. You can still look up and learn from others, as long as you're still alive. Now, many of us sitting here, when we were called into the church, Mr. Armstrong was alive. How many of us looked to Mr. Armstrong as a guide, as an example, as, in effect, a mentor for our Christian walk just as we were beginning? Many of us have. I know when I came in shortly after that, I met a man that guided me. Without him, I wouldn't be here. I'll tell you that. There were others too. Two pastors and two deacons. This one man that I first mentioned, I saw him go from being a common ordinary man to a deacon to an elder. And he still is my mentor, even though he stayed with our former association. I still have him up here. Let's take a look at an important section of Scripture. Back in Titus. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Verse 2. Well, let's start in verse 1. "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine." So here Paul is instructing Titus, as his protege, to speak things which are proper for sound doctrine. And that is that the older men, those, you guys out here, every one of us, the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. That is what you are supposed to set an example of as a mentor to everyone else. Verse 3, "The older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers," or you might say gossipers and so forth, "not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed." So the older women are to be mentors to the younger women. Now, how many of you younger women are learning from an older woman here, or maybe another older woman in your private life? How many of you young men have found someone here in this congregation or in your outside life that you have chosen to emulate, to follow their example? See, it's something that it takes two people, not just one, but two. In some notes here, it says older men refers to men older than about 50. The same is true of older women. The character of those who are mature should be as a spiritual example to all. Maturity is not determined simply by age or even by how much a person knows. It is determined by how skilled a person is in applying the truth to life and in distinguishing good from evil. That is what a mentor is to do. So how many of you are dead? Nobody. Everybody's still alive. Good. Like that. How many of you have a mentor, at least one mentor? Okay, there's a few of you. Good. Now, for the younger folks, younger than me, or however young you want to be, where do you start? Do you just go up and point at somebody and say, hey, I want you to be my mentor? Well, you could. If you need someone to choose from, there are names on the back of your bulletin that you can choose from. Same way with you young ladies. You can choose someone from back here if you need to. So who here has a mentor? We all do. At least one. The Holman Christian Standard Bible renders Matthew 11:29 this way. All of you, take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. Jesus Christ is that one mentor that we all should have, whether we have a human mentor or not. So let us all think about this and act on it.